It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
I gave you the words before in Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. You can read it again. Some people did not take the baptism, and God was not pleased with those people.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John.
Okay, see here, the publican means sinners. All the sinners took the baptism, and it says justified God being baptized. That means all the sinners, they came and repented, say, oh, this is the will of God. God commanded John the Baptist that we should be baptized and we should repent. This baptism is called the baptism of repentance. So we are going to repent of our sins and then we are going to justify God. They did. They took baptism. Verse 30.
But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him.
See? Rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Means, so who cares what God says? I don't want to be baptized. This John the Baptist is a crazy man. We never heard anybody shouting there in the wilderness and whole world is going after him and be baptized. There is nothing recorded that everybody should go and be baptized. So they rejected the counsel of God. They rejected the plan of God. They rejected the commandment of God. And so point I was making, once you are born again, child of God, you will obey the word of God. Okay, so Jesus obeyed the word of God and say what? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, Mark chapter 1 verse 12.
And immediately the spirit driveth him into the wilderness.
Now, when you say immediately, means as soon as he was baptized, the spirit takes him into the wilderness. Now, some people were saying the devil took him to the wilderness. Devil cannot force the child of God. You understand? Devil has no power over the children of God. What spirit? When the spirit of God was taking him to the wilderness for testing, God says he purges his own son and own children. So he wanted to test Christ, how he stands the test. And that's what happens. And similar things happens to us. All this testing and trial comes. Many people do not want Christianity. They want Christian life means easygoing life. But the word of God says, when you tested, you became more perfect. Go to this James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
See, that's what God wants. God wants us to be perfect and lacking nothing. That's why we're going through trials and tribulations and problems. If somebody doesn't want the exam or not want any trials and tribulations, that person cannot be perfected, cannot be mature in the Lord. And so that's what we're going through. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 1 and verse 13.
And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him.
Now here we're seeing Jesus Christ went in the wilderness 40 days, didn't say 40 nights, but the 40 days and 40 nights. When you say day, it means 24 hours a day. So 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by Satan, and he says he was with the wild beasts. He was with a wild beast, but they were not able to kill him. Just like Adam was in the garden. And all these animals were very friendly with Adam. Nobody was able to eat him or kill him until he committed sin. But Jesus Christ never committed sin, right? So the animal had no power over Christ to kill him or destroy him, because he is God himself or the Son of God. That's what we see. So here the devil coming to tempt, but before that he is there 40 days and 40 nights, all these animals coming all around him, but they are not hurting him. Just like a Daniel was put in the lion's den. And they kept the lion hungry for a long time. So they knew that if the lions were hungry and we put the Daniel, the lions will chew him up. That's what they thought. But when Daniel was put in the lion's den, lion did not kill him. They were just like a pussycat going around him and not hurting him. That's what happened to Jesus. When sin comes, sickness, disease, pain, and animals become your enemy. But when you are in the Lord, nothing will hurt you. We read in the book of Mark, chapter 16, it says, when you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though somebody gives you deadly, poisonous things, it will not hurt you. Or no animal can hurt you. He says, you will be stepping on the scorpion, stepping on the snake. They will not hurt you. We are the believers. We have the power over the demonic forces. Once you are saved, we have power over these demonic forces. Not only that, he says, angels ministered unto him. Not one angel, angels. So when he was there, the angels might be guarding him. They did not allow any snake. They did not allow any other animals to come to attack him. And so they were ministering to him. The same thing happens once you are born again. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Once we are born again, God sends angels to minister to us. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And now he is going in the wilderness as the Son of God, the beloved Son of God. Devil has no power. The angels are surrounding him and angels are ministering to him. The same thing happened when you are born again.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
See, they are the ministering spirit for whom? If you are heirs of salvation, if you are born again, you achieve the salvation, then they are there to minister to you. You can go in a danger places. God will protect you. If you are driving, now today we just saw, I was taking a look left, look right, and I took the turn, and where I'm turning, here other person was behind me. He didn't wait until I go. He just comes, crosses in front of me, and gone. If God was not watching us, we would have an accident. So God's angels were watching us and protecting us. Now here again we see Jesus Christ went to wilderness. The Spirit of God took him in the wilderness for testing. Why? Because Adam was tested and Adam failed. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. When you say Adam, the female was tested, but her name was Adam.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Now see what he's saying. The woman saw the tree was good for what? Food. They were not eating food yet. They were eating all kinds of fruits. But when she saw this fruit, she said, oh, this is good for food. She saw the food and she said, this is good for food. This other food is not good for food. This is good. And then which is, then what he's saying? And that was pleasant to her eyes. Other fruits, they don't look that pretty. They don't look that beautiful. But this catches my eyes. This is what the world is. What is trying to say, that lady saw this fruit and she said, oh, this is very exciting. I never saw this kind of food. That fruit is good for food and he's looking beautiful. That's what the word of God is saying. When you look something, Jesus Christ said, when you're looking at one girl with a lustful eyes, you already did commit adultery. Okay, then what he's saying, and that food, and he says, and tree to be desired to be make one wise. She said, wow, this tree is good for food. This fruit is good for my eyes, looks very enticing. And this can make me really wise. That's what the testing was. And so that's what the Word of God is saying. Go to the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Now here is saying, do not love the world and the things of the world. If you're doing that, that means you don't love the Father, and Father is not going to love you. So we are living in the world, but we are not of the world. We are belong to God. Last week we learned we are citizens of heaven. And we learned that we are looking unto Jesus. Jesus is our life. So we are living in this world, but we are not living for this world. Do you know the fish? Fish stays in the salty water all the time. But when you take the fish, does anybody eat fish without putting the salt? Now, 21st century, yes, they will eat without the salt. But I never saw 50 years ago, somebody takes the fish and cooks without a salt and eat. Because the fish doesn't have a salt. You have to put a salt. The fish stays in the salty water, but doesn't allow salt to get into flesh. So the same way, we are living in the sinful ocean, or sinful sea, or sinful world. But the world's sin should not come to us. If it does, he says, then Father's love is not in you, because you are not loving the Lord. You can say, oh, I love the Lord, and I really love God. But if you love the Lord and you do the worldly thing, you are not a child of God. Okay, verse 16.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Now somebody says, this is all the world has. He says, oh, the world has the trees and gardens and animals and planets. But God said, I'm not talking about that. He says, what the world has in nutshell, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh. This is what the desire we have. We want to eat something. Our tongue wants to taste something. And we want to feed on some better kinds of food. One restaurant to another restaurant to another restaurant. Satisfying the desires of the lust. And the other one, he says, and the lust of the eyes. That means they want to see the pretty girls. They want to see the movies. They want to see everything. And some people are bird watchers and all kinds of things. They want to see the world. To borrow the money, go to sightseeing. Now, some people just 3,000. Some people going to some sightseeing or some places, spending $10,000. What is it? Lust of the eyes. You want to see. I want to see Rome. I want to see this. I want to see this. I'm in Philadelphia how many years now? I didn't go to see all 50 states yet. No. Only places I went where I had the opportunity to go to preach the gospel or things like that. When I went to Russia, we had 120 ministers with me. And when I went to Russia, they have, let's go to the ballet dancing today. Let's go to this theater. Let's go here. Let's go there. I said, sir, I did not come to Russia to go to movies, go to seeing theaters and the dancers and the restaurant. I came here to preach the gospel. And that's what I did. And I was the one preaching the gospel, giving my money, giving the literature, and I was almost running out of the money. And God did some miracle. I start praying for the American people who came from America to Russia. One lady said, God told me to go to Russia and I heal you. I prayed for her and God healed her. Not only one, so many people got healed. And they start coming and shake hands and start giving $20, $50, $100. One lady was a travel agent and she put the money in the envelope. She said, Pastor Peter, can I give you this envelope? God told me to give it to you. So there was the money. The point I'm making, when I took the money to go to Russia, I spent all the money. But when I came back, I had more money than what I took. So my desire was not going and seeing the Russia. My desire was going and preaching the gospel. And that's what I went for. And so he is saying, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What does it mean? They want to be somebody. Before I came to the Lord, you know what my desire was? I wanted to be a movie star, somebody. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a medical doctor. And so I was very talkative, so somebody says, oh, you should be a lawyer. Yes, I want to be a lawyer. And so I wanted to be a lawyer, I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to be a movie star. This is the desire, pride. I'm somebody, I want to be somebody. We go to school. Why are you going to school? Not to be somebody. I'm going to school to serve the Lord. I don't care you want to be a lawyer, be a Christian lawyer. Whatever you want to do, do it for the Lord. Then your education is okay. Otherwise, this is all pride. Other day, one man was giving the list of the people, I didn't write it down, but most of the billionaires, they died like fools. One billionaire went to some other country and begging for food because he was afraid somebody will see him in America. So he went in another country and was begging. One of the millionaires was in his basement, tied like a dog, and they were not even feeding him food. So many millionaires died like a fool. They wanted to be proud people in the world. But that is not the reason why we are here. Verse 17.
And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
See? The world is going to pass. Whatever you see with your eyes. The beauty doesn't stand too long. When the girls are pretty, you know, when they are 15, 16, they said, nobody's like me. When they become 90 years old, I want to see where the beauty is. So the beauty doesn't stay. Whatever pride doesn't stay is going away. The whole world is going to be vanished. But it's the word of God says, whoever does the will of God, that person will abide forever. So we want to do the will of God, so we will be with God forever. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ was in the wilderness and he was tested. Go to the book of Matthew. Now we don't have time to study about the temptation, but I'll just give you the chapters. Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, okay? These two chapters, Matthew and Luke, they give the story about the temptation of Jesus Christ. But when you read in Matthew and Luke, they are not chronologically exactly the same. But the temptation are the same. So some people say, why he wrote this and why he wrote that? It doesn't matter. But the one verse, both of them wrote it very clearly. That's only one verse I'm going to read. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and Luke chapter 4, verse 4. They quoted both chapters and similar verse.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Now the devil start telling him, take this stone and make the bread. Because, you know, Adam failed. Adam and his wife, both of them failed. He said, this fruit is good for food. Some of the stones, you know, they look like a bread. They make it an oven, half cut stone like this and very smooth. And so that's the kind of stone. He said, take this stone and make a bread. So he said, the man shall not live by bread alone. And so every word comes out of the mouth of God, and you listen to it and practice it, you will have eternity. Luke.
And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, okay, by every word of God.
Your homework, you go home, compare the book of Matthew chapter 4, and Luke chapter 4, and compare the things. But in short, I'll tell you, in nutshell, the temptation was given to the Adam. The same temptation is recorded in this 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Similar temptation Jesus went through, but he was victorious. Okay, and so here we are going to stop. Time is gone, and God willing, this is the Mark chapter 1, verse 13, we're finishing. And God willing, we start Mark chapter 1, 14 next week. Shall we rise? Book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15.
And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel.
Now here in the book of Mark, starts the chapter 1, with the message of Jesus Christ. Other gospel, they don't start like that, but the Mark starts it. He says, this is the way Jesus preached. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus started. See what John the Baptist said. That is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Now see here it says, repent you, for the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, is at hand. But the Jesus Christ said a little bit differently. He says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now when you say time is fulfilled, somebody will say, I don't know what timing he is talking about. The time is fulfilled because Jesus Christ came at the right timing. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, here he's saying, at the last days, he spoke with us through his Son.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
See, now here he's saying, at the last days, God spoke to us through his Son. So the last days, Jesus Christ says, the time is almost fulfilled. So Jesus Christ was saying the time is fulfilled, that Jesus Christ is going to go to cross and give his life, and the salvation plan will be open to mankind. That's the timing he's talking about. And when he says, in these last days, Jesus Christ spoke to us. So if you think, when Jesus Christ start his ministry, in those days were the last days. So we are in the last days. You understand? Because the timing of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and going to heaven, now we are living in the last days. If you read any Peter or Paul or anyone, they are saying we are in the last days. So we are last days, very close to the second coming of Christ or the end of the world. So here he's saying, you have to repent and believe the gospel. We are in the last days, and that's what the message. Book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15.
And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel.
Now here in the book of Mark, starts the chapter 1 with the message of Jesus Christ. Other gospel, they don't start like that, but the Mark starts it. He says, this is the way Jesus preached. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus started. See what John the Baptist said. That is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15.
And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel.
Now here in the book of Mark, starts the chapter 1 with the message of Jesus Christ. Other gospel, they don't start like that, but the Mark starts it. He says, this is the way Jesus preached. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus started. See what John the Baptist said. That is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Now see here it says, Repent you, for the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the Jesus Christ said a little bit differently. He says, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now when you say time is fulfilled, somebody will say, I don't know what timing he is talking about. The time is fulfilled because Jesus Christ came at the right timing. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, here he's saying, at the last days, he spoke with us through his Son.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
See, now here he's saying, at the last days, God spoke to us through his Son. So the last days, Jesus Christ says, the time is almost fulfilled. So Jesus Christ was saying the time is fulfilled, that Jesus Christ is going to go to cross and give his life, and the salvation plan will be open to mankind. That's the timing he's talking about. And when he says, in these last days, Jesus Christ spoke to us. So if you think, when Jesus Christ start his ministry, in those days were the last days. So we are in the last days. You understand? Because the timing of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and going to heaven, now we are living in the last days. If you read any Peter or Paul or anyone, they are saying we are in the last days. So we are last days, very close to the second coming of Christ or the end of the world. So here is saying you have to repent and believe the gospel. We are in the last days. Book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15.
And saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel.
Now here in the book of Mark, starts the chapter 1 with the message of Jesus Christ. Other gospel, they don't start like that, but the Mark starts it. He says, This is the way Jesus preached. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus started. See what John the Baptist said. That is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Now, see here it says, Repent you, for the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is at hand.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.